Yeah, how much can we and can we not talk about the cover?
Oh, we can talk about everything.
Okay.
This is it.
At this point, like, this is the launch.
This is we're spilling it. I think this all looks good. We're just going to run with this. We just have to go.
Are you cool? Do you want me to hide this Sprite? Or do you not care? Like, logo-wise.
What brand is that?
7-Up.
Yeah, we have no 7-Up. They're one of our big competitors.
Okay.
No, just leave. Oh. Who cares?
Do you see my hair color?
Blonde?
Things go over my head.
Don't say that. What does your hat say?
Backwoods Barbie. It's a dolly thing.
It's a dolly.
Do you guys have a favorite blonde joke? I know those are pretty like derogatory and not nice, but is there one that
favorite blonde joke
happens to be your
favorite? I don't know if I could even list them. It's nice when I have a little bit of a dumb moment to be like, oh, I have the right hair color at least.
Do you think that stigma just doesn't even make sense anymore?
No. It makes no sense.
I don't hear any blonde jokes anymore.
No, I mean, it's
kind of a thing of the past.
Being blonde now is just fun, carefree, dolly energy.
I don't even know if it's that. Does anyone even think that much about it?
No.
Maybe they do that.
I don't think so.
It is a thing, though.
Because you can dye your hair. Like, I could be brunette tomorrow. I could be a redhead tomorrow.
You could be.
You know, like, our EP is called Blonde, but the next one could be called Brunette.
Yeah.
Or red. Or
Blair is right outside the store. We're going to get her in here really quickly.
Blair!
But she has to come in right now, and then we're all going to stare at her and give her shit.
Okay.
If she comes in. If she doesn't come in, then whatever. Yeah, I agree. But yes, okay, so here's the thing. We are celebrating Tiger Lily today because Tiger Lily Gold. When I knew them, they were Tiger Lily.
Yeah.
Now they're Tiger Lily Gold. But we are celebrating them today because they are on the cover of our debut National Briefing issue, which is crazy. And by the time this is out, you can go to all of our social medias and you'll be able to see the cover. And this is going to come out today. So if you're at CRS this week, tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, find this issue. It's going to be everywhere. You're not going to be able to miss it. You're going to be able to see this cover and everything, and it's going to be great. But I was thinking about this cover shoot, which we did at 6 a.m. It was freezing that day. Do you remember? You can't not remember this.
I remember every moment of this shoot. It was so cold. It was freezing, but we're North Dakota girls, so I feel like being cold, embracing that. It was 5, 6 a.m. I mean, we were up real early for glam shooting down on Broadway. It was freezing, but we got some epic shots because there was no traffic down there. I mean, it was amazing.
Well, that's why we did that, because we got the perfect lighting of the sun basically coming up, and then we got no one on there. So there was no cars on Broadway, no people. It was completely deserted. In the photo shoot that we ended up, or in the photo that we ended up using on the centerfold, we had to Photoshop out one car. There was one car, like, in the corner.
That's amazing.
And we Photoshopped it out. So if you get the centerfold, go look and see if you can find the spot.
That never happens on Broadway.
Like, never
it's
happens.
Always packed with people. So to make it epic, we had to do that. It was worth it. It was
Wait, so what
it.
Time were you guys up for the photo shoot?
If we started at 6, probably 3:30.
Holy fuck, you guys were up at 3:30
a.m.? I take a lot of work, man.
What are
I mean,
you talking about? Wait, so what did you do? You woke up, and then did you guys do your own makeup for
we
it?
We did our own makeup. We had our girl Sunny come in and do our hair.
Yep.
You know, we picked out outfits probably a couple days prior, jewelry, the whole run of it, and then we pulled up to the location.
I mean, honestly, if I'm going to, like, a write or something, I can get ready in half hour, 45 minutes. But, like, a full-blown photo shoot, probably an hour and a half minimum.
All face.
Like, glam, hair.
Eyelashes.
Clothes,
how
out the door.
Possible? Oh, my God.
Hour and a half.
And how great. Your husband, Kendra, is a photographer. So he was shooting the whole thing. Does he shoot all your content?
He shoots all of our photos. He's incredible. Basically, since the beginning of... Before we were Tiger Lily Gold, when we were Tiger Lily, he was taking all of our photos. And then we all moved to Nashville, and Monument has hired him to take photos of us still for our albums and our EP covers, and he's really, really talented. So it's nice that we get to work together in a fun way, creative way, but we're not, you know, always working together all the time. So we have our separate things.
Yeah, but he does all the photos.
He
does
all the
great,
photos.
Right?
He's amazing. Yeah, he's really, really incredible.
Chris,
he has
do
a great
you feel
eye.
This way? Do you feel like you're trapped into using Kendra's husband for all these photos? Like,
hey.
Like, do you feel like this is being forced on you?
At
or?
This point, he knows my good angles. Yeah. He knows my good side. Yeah. I'm cool with it.
He does. Yeah.
Jared makes me look great. And
the thing is, like, we don't have that we can be blunt with each other now. Jared can look at me or Krista and be like, I know you're not going to like this picture of yourself, so change this a little bit, change this a little bit. And we're not offended. He's, you know, we all just
he
have
was
that.
Doing that in the photo.
Yeah, we all have that honesty with each other. And so he can go to Krista, like they're brother and sister at this point. He can go, Krista, you're probably not going to like your smile in this picture, so just
Krista,
change
don't
it a little.
Be awkward, basically.
Open your eyes. Or Kendra, if you're going to tilt your head down a little bit, you're going to like it better that way. So we're really good at knowing what we like at this point, which is really, really nice to have, because you want to, if you're on a photo shoot, it's already slightly uncomfortable, so you want to make sure you're comfortable with your photographer and the people around you, for sure.
He was great. I just remember this day. So they put on the call sheet that they were going to get there at 5 a.m. to set up, and then we were there at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
So I have someone who works with me, Blair, and Blair got downtown at 5 a.m., and she texted me, and I was asleep, and she said, where is everyone? And I said, what do you mean? It's 6 a.m.? But she was looking at the call sheet. I screwed up. I gave her bad information. So she stayed downtown basically an hour just to meet with us. That's dedication. When you look at this cover, I want you to think about the dedication.
The dedication.
Of Blair Miller.
Blair, MVP, Blair.
We love
Blair, MVP. And we had Alex Perry for my team. We had the whole Monument team down there. Casey Ainsley, who's with us now, she was down there. This was a whole thing, and what you're not going to get realizing this cover is, looking at this cover, what you're not going to know is how cold it was.
Yeah.
You guys were popping in and out of cars between every take, basically. Yeah. We'd get a couple photos, and we'd be like, all right, put them back in the car. Let's reset. Like, it
Why
was.
Why heat them up?
Krista's hands were turning purple.
It was so cold.
It wasn't even, it was freezing, I will say that, but I started to lose feeling in my hands, and I was holding my guitar on Broadway, and you guys wanted me to lift it up in certain ways, and I'm like, I cannot feel my hands. I don't even know what I'm clenching.
She's just like
right
a claw
now.
At this point.
It's frozen like this. I can't get it undone.
You guys are wearing like a skirt, like not winter clothing.
No.
I was in a Canada Goose, a scarf. I was wearing long underwear. I put long underwear on that morning. Like, it was one of those, like, freakishly cold days in Nashville.
Yeah.
Like, I can't remember one of the last days that was that cold in Nashville.
Was the snowstorm, like, the week after or the week before? It was right around that time.
I think it was the next day.
The cusp of the snowstorm.
It was really, really cold. But, like I said, we've actually done... We've done colder photo shoots and video shoots before, which is crazy to say. Not that I love it, and I don't want to keep repeating it, but... We can.
What was the craziest photo shoot you ever did?
It was like -40 degrees
in North Dakota, where you guys were from. Like, was it really worth? Did it really have to be done that
day? So we were doing a music video for a song called "Step," which I don't even think is on iTunes or Apple Music or Spotify anymore. This was pre moving to Nashville, okay? And it was we had planned this video shoot day, and it was like we had only these 2 days to get it done, and one of the days was -40 wind chill.
Yeah. Luckily, we could bundle up for the shoot. So
I felt bad for the actor, though. He was, or she was, it was a girl, right? During that scene. I can't remember, but
it was tough.
Either way, that was tough. That's the coldest. I have a video of us like trudging through the snow, just being like,
it's very North Dakota.
And we still, doing that. Yeah.
And we still had our very Midwest accents. And I'm like, oh, yeah.
Did you guys really have, do you feel like you had Midwest accents?
Yes.
100%.
And did you work on getting rid of it, or just naturally being in Nashville, it kind of just went away on its own?
Yeah, we didn't purposely try to get rid of our Midwest accent. It's very Minnesota and Midwest, if you can imagine like a nice 50-year-old lady who just wants to make you a hot dish. Like, it's very comforting.
Yeah.
But just being in Nashville for so long, I think we just kind of picked up some southernisms or just neutraled out because my northern friends think I sound southern and my southern friends think I still sound very Midwest.
Yeah. We say y'all, but then we say bag still.
What does bag mean? What?
Like bag. A bag.
Oh,
like
a bag. Yeah. Like a bag. No, that's wrong.
It is wrong.
That's not it.
We are in the 0.05% of people who say it like that, and I'm going to stick with it.
It's a North Dakota pride thing.
Yes. Yeah.
But when you're around your families, does the accent come out?
Oh, 100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if we get back up there for shows or anything like that, like you spend a few nights back up there, you're like, I am right back to where I used to be. This is just like home.
Big.
Big. That has not left me. The
it's a O's, long A.
The O's have left me a little bit, but the bag.
Like, what are the O's? Like, give me an
like,
example of the O's.
Oh, North
it's
Dakota.
Very like, oh, yeah.
It's like an OE almost. Mm-hmm. Like an O.
Like Minnesota.
You got to stick
for
with that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. It just, for some reason, the bag stayed and the O left.
I think it's fun, though. Put that in a song, because now you can rhyme it with different words. Right. What can you rhyme Bag. What is it? Bag?
Bag.
Big?
Like flag would be flag.
Flag.
An old hag.
Bag. Egg. You rhyme egg with beg or something.
Right.
Egg.
I think it's you could twist it for different rhymes. Just consider it.
It's nice because, when you're writing songs, then it gives you more to work with, really. We could change it to bag if we, wanted to change it, or bag if we really needed a better rhyme.
So. You know, Ed Sheeran does cool rhymes because he's, British. Why couldn't we be Ed Sheeran with North Dakota? It's just as universal.
Yeah, I agree. You know what I didn't realize? Because I knew you guys were coming on, and I think we're friends. I don't really know. You never know in this town. I don't really.
Are we? No, just get this. We're friends.
I have no clue. But I feel like we've hung out like in New York. Like,
I was saying, we were in New York together. You introduced us to the cheesecake.
We went to Junior's in Times Square. Was the only thing open.
Yeah,
that didn't have a crazy line. Yeah.
We were hangry too at that point, so I felt bad that you got that side of us.
You saved the day, though.
You did save the day. And
how
the
great
food
was
good. Was
when we went to Junior's and every, right? It was the cheesecake. Did we end up getting cheesecake?
Yes.
Yeah,
we did, right?
I was like, we cannot be here and not get cheesecake. It was really good.
And
it
this was
delightful.
Right after you guys were on the Today Show. It was like
right
the next day you guys made your Today Show debut, right?
I know. That still sounds crazy when you say it. But yeah, we had just played the Today Show, and then it was, I think, the next day. And then we had just gone to Shucked, which
The Shane McAnally musical.
Yes.
Who's on, who obviously works very closely with you guys. You'd just seen the musical.
Just saw the musical.
And then you guys did this Sony showcase. And I loved this showcase. Let me tell you why. It was all of, the wrong people. Like, it was all, people who just had never heard of what country music was. All great, I'm sure brilliant executives who do amazing work for you guys, but they didn't even know, they had no clue what was hitting them. And then you guys got up with your harmonies and your girl blood harmony and your songs and everything, and I feel like you kind of won them over.
Well, thank you. But I mean, it was a new crowd for us. Obviously, we work with Sony Monument here in Nashville, but being up in New York and going to the Sony offices up there, it's a whole nother world. Obviously, the music they work with isn't necessarily country all the time, and so it was fun to play them our music and share that side. But they were awesome. I mean, it was so fun. I mean, I don't think the PA went out, and then we just
we're taking this
that.
Acapella.
We went full on acoustic
little campfire session,
which I feel like was better anyways, because it really just showed off. Sometimes I feel like we sound best when there's just nothing, no mics, no plugins, nothing, just us and our voices,
bells or whistles.
And I feel like the balance is perfect like that because we can just hear each other so well. So it was kind of fun that, that accidentally happened and worked out.
I feel like, though, a lot of their acts in New York, LA, whatever, who are probably amazing songwriters, really talented, I feel like not that many of them can just get up there and sound as full as you guys do with just an acoustic guitar and these harmonies. And Kendra, your voice just cuts through. It's amazing. I feel like a lot of acts that probably showcased in that room probably don't sound as full as you guys sounded. I feel like everyone was really, they were like, whoa, this is really good. That was kind
thanks.
Of the vibe.
Thanks, I'm glad that was the review.
I love to surprise people.
We don't really know.
I had to leave halfway through it, so I don't know what the second half, no, I'm kidding.
They got really hurt us, it's all right. No.
But I think we just have played live for so long. We've been a band for over 11 years that we pride ourselves on being put anywhere, any place, any crowd, and just giving our best performance. And that's all we can really do at the end of the day.
And that people really understand who we are and what we're about. Just with the acoustic guitar and our two voices. And we can obviously bring the band and we can pep it up and build the whole thing. But at the root of it all, this is who we are. This is what we do. And we want to make sure that that represents us in a really, really unique, great way wherever we're put.
But do you, I was watching these videos of you guys doing acoustic performances at radio stations or what looks like these very corporate
conference rooms.
Yeah. What is that like why do you do that? What is that?
So last year we shipped our song Shoot Tequila to country radio, which was super awesome, hit top 40. But you have to meet every radio station basically in order for them to play your song. Hopefully you want to meet all these people and basically make good relationships with everybody at these radio stations who programs the station. So you go around from city to city and you pop in and you sing each program director about 3 or 4 songs. And it's usually in a room maybe like this or a conference room. But really, you have 20 minutes of their time, 20 to 30 max.
To make an impression.
To make an impression. Mm-hmm. And they see acts every day. So you really have to give them something that they're going to remember that's different about you, that they will have a good experience listening to you. So we really just try to give it wherever
we're
at.
What do you give it? Like, do you just rely on the harmonies and the strength of the songs?
Yeah.
Like what else can you do
energy.
To stand out?
Yeah, I mean, I think for us, it's like just our harmony together, our sister harmony that separates us from so many people already. So that really makes us unique. And then we're really just trying to bring this like fun, cool girl group energy to country music, which I feel like doesn't have a lot of it right now. And so those two things are already different in itself. And so we're just trying to present that as much as we can and as big as we can when we're in these places. And just give a really good performance. I mean, not every day we're going to be at our 100% best, but we're going to give what we have that day. But for a radio tour, we did some of, you know, the normal radio tour, but we also did these pop-up shows, which Monument put together, which was really cool, where we went from city to city and we would exclusively invite fans out. We'd invite radio out. We'd invite people in the communities out, and they would also come see us and we would play a show, because it's better for anyone to see you when you're in
your
most
element.
Comfortable environment, your element. So that was really, it wasn't even really a radio tour at that point. It was a tour
shows.
Just basically
like
of
show.
Shows. Yeah. Yeah. And so that's really how we started, you know, working our Song Shoot Tequila at country radio was with all those shows. And then, you know, obviously did some conference rooms and things like that too. But yeah, last year was
on the road.
We were on the road 24/7.
I feel like when I do this show, the energy in the room is a very sensitive thing that can be broken really quickly. Like if someone's phone rings or if all of a sudden someone's like, hey, can I go to the bathroom, and you take a pause in the middle, like any energy that might be in the conversation, it's instantly gone.
Yeah.
When you're performing in these conference rooms, is that something you deal with too? Like does someone all of a sudden say like, oh, wait, hold on, like I'm getting a phone, or like do things come up, and then is it hard to bring the energy back into the room?
Mm-hmm. Man, you just got to roll with the punches. I mean, these people, they're busy, and you hope that they can give you their undivided attention, but that's not always the case, and it's not their fault. You know, it's like a phone rings, something happens, people are walking in and out of the conference room. You just got to roll with it, because that's what it's going to be.
I think since we have each other, it's nice, because we can always just focus on each other, the song, what we're playing, and kind of ignore the rest of it. But there's definitely times where you're like,
that was awkward.
You know, looking at their phone or something awkward happens. And it's
you're
just,
like, I'm up here giving it all I got.
Yeah.
This is the only thing I have is this single.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get it played, man. Like, come on. Like, isn't that crazy? But I don't know. You can't.
But every person is so different. And it's like they may seem distracted, but then afterwards they'll be like, we loved it, we're gonna play it. So you never really know what's going on behind the scenes, which is why you can't worry about it. And we just truly appreciate being able to go into all these places and meeting all these people, because you never know. And also, you hope, we worked Shoot Tequila last year, hit top 40. We're working a new song this year called I Try to Ring On at country radio, and all those people we met last year, we're gonna see them again this year. We don't have to do the full blown out radio tour. But it's like these relationships, if you're planning on having a lasting career in country music, they're going to matter all the way through.
Yeah. Through the whole thing. This,
yes.
And this new song, I Try to Ring On, this is such a sad song. I can't even stand it. It's so sad, especially if you're going through like a breakup or something. This is like, this is either going to be your best friend, or this is going to be so sad, this song. But that's kind of what makes it great. But none of you guys, I can't imagine any of you guys experienced this song. Right? This didn't happen to you. Did this happen to you? Did you go try a ring on?
Okay.
Hold on.
Let
Who
me start
first.
Back it up on like just if people are out there and they're living under a rock. This song, Try to Ring On, this is basically about a relationship where this woman thought she was about to be engaged, right?
Yeah, basically.
And she was going to try rings on. She tried rings on.
She tried rings on.
Because in her head, she was so confident.
Yeah.
That she was about to get engaged.
Because when you're in a relationship with someone and you've probably talked about the future. You really are like, this is the one for me. This is the person. This is my soulmate. And then it ends abruptly and you're like, well, what do I know? And so really that's what this song is about. It does have empowerment in it, because it does say, I'm sure I'll get over you being gone. I just feel stupid. I try to ring on. It's like that realization of, wow.
You're going to be okay.
How did I think that I had forever with this person, and then now we're strangers. It's really just that like aha moment. I thankfully have not lived this song, but I've had friends who have, and you know, I take inspiration from a lot of different places.
It's always so interesting coming from a duo where obviously not everybody's familiar with us on a personal level. Kendra's been married to her husband for almost 5 years. Mm-hmm. They've been together for 14 years, though, like high school sweethearts. She's been in a healthy, committed relationship. I obviously am the more relatable one. No, I'm just
true.
Because you're single, or because you're not married? What do you mean?
I've had some ups and downs in my relationships. But the thing is, here's the deal. I think if you're in a serious relationship, you do picture that forever with somebody. And I've never been engaged. I've never been married or divorced. But I have had someone tell me to go pick out a ring. Mm-hmm. Go try on rings.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I have a picture of the ring.
Zach looks so sad
right now.
First of all,
shouldn't this guy, maybe I'm wrong.
And this is also, like, I'm in a very healthy, good place. This is a while ago. So, like, it doesn't emotionally affect me anymore, but I can just, you know, be honest
with it. It was a couple months ago. We're fine. No, I'm kidding. But wait, doesn't the guy go pick out the ring? Did your husband make you go pick out rings?
I had no idea when he was going to propose. I never picked out a ring.
But you told him what you wanted.
Yeah, I showed him pictures.
What did you want? Like,
just
what?
Just, like, a beautiful, just, like, circle classic ring is what I wanted.
Yeah.
But honestly, I wouldn't have cared. Like, I just want to spend my life with Jared. I couldn't.
No,
have...
but isn't the ring important?
It is, because it's a symbol of, like, your love and your life together.
You gotta get the ring right.
But yeah, I guess girls, which now I think this is bad luck. I've heard it is bad luck, so maybe this is why this has happened. But they go into ring stores and jewelry stores, and they're like, oh, let's just try an engagement ring on and see how it looks. And I feel like that's pretty normal behavior if you're with someone you think you're going to be with.
It's pretty innocent behavior, too. Also, yeah. I didn't even know what my ring size was because I had never really thought about it.
Like, you got to know your ring size if you're going to get engaged to this person.
And I also just didn't walk into a jewelry store. I was told to go into a jewelry store and
was
start looking at stuff.
No, he
was not.
I was with Krista.
So, you know, there's a line in the second verse that says, maybe I got carried away and baby, that's fair. But you can't call me crazy because you carried me there. It's like, hey,
that's
I wouldn't have
means.
Done this.
That's where that line comes from.
I wouldn't have done this without your go-ahead to do this.
That's the truest part of that song.
But, you know, it's funny because everyone has a different story they apply to this song. A lot of people have been divorced. You know, they physically had the ring on, you know, for forever. And even if you didn't physically go into a jewelry store and try on a ring, you've thought about forever with that person. Mm-hmm. So it's cool how people from different walks of life, different stages of their relationship can kind of come back to this song and put their own story to it. Mm-hmm.
But where were you in this that somebody threw? What was the kernel of this idea? Like, who threw this out and everyone said, oh, that we need to write that today? Like, who comes up with that?
Honestly,
concept?
Our co-writer, Pete Good, had the title, I Tried a Ring On. And when he said that title, all of us in the room looked at each other and we said, That's it.
Why, though? It seems so crazy to me.
It's not even a short, catchy title like a lot of country songs, I would say. But we really trust these guys. Josh Jenkins, Pete Good are the two other writers on the song other than Kendra and I. And we went through 30 titles that day.
So you were like, we just need to get going. Just anything. Like,
yeah, but also with those guys, we do take our time and we don't even attempt at writing something unless we're all on the same page. Like, this is a cool idea. It hasn't been done like this before.
It was honestly more like, we're not going to start writing until we all find an idea that we love together.
Which took probably a couple hours.
With these guys, it's like, when we get to cutting an album, we have 10 to 12 songs max. So if we don't leave a write really, really excited about something or an idea, at least
it's not
that
worth it.
It's not
like
worth
a waste.
It.
Yeah.
So it's like, we'll sit for a half hour, maybe even an hour to find the right thing, the right idea, if it's worth it in the end. Mm-hmm. And I know for some writes that doesn't always work, or for some groups of people that doesn't always work either. But for us, that is kind of how we work with these guys, and I Tried a Ring On came to me. And instantly in my mind, we had so many friends going through breakups at that time, and that sparked.
So that's what you were using as inspiration for the song.
Yes.
And to me, that melody is kind of a unique melody in that verse that's like, dump-a-dump-a-bump. Like, I can't quite
jump
do it, but
the gun.
Jump the gun. Like, that to me is kind
of. I just wanted that part of you going, jump the gun.
Jump the gun. Like, to me, that's kind of a cool melody. Like, did somebody just come up with that on the fly? Or did you have a melody and you were like, no, can we do something to make it stand out a little bit or to make it a little more interesting?
We wrote two different verses, first verses, mm-hmm. before changing it to that verse. So, yes.
And
we did not
just
stump.
Totally different, the verses?
Totally different.
Completely different.
I would have to go back in my voice memos and look, but I think the first one is like a little more like poppy, a little more syncopated. I don't say rappy, but a little more just like rhythmic.
A little more punchy, poppy. This one was just more elongated, and I think Josh Jenkins was kind of humming something, and Kendra's so melodically driven over here, and she's the lead singer, so obviously she's going to want to have to sing this. It's got to feel comfortable for her voice. But she kind of took that, what Josh was singing, and shaped it to her. And when we went down to that the gun melody, it just all hit. And we're like, yeah, that's it. You don't always know when it's like wrong necessarily in a right. But when you all agree on something that's so cool, you know when it's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
Okay.
If you can all agree on the magic, then you know it's right. If there's someone in the right that's kind of like, I don't know, that does this not sitting right, then I think it's... You got to fight for it yet. But the chorus came pretty fast. Like the kind of descending melody. I think I started singing something like that. And then someone had the, you know, we flew to the sun, but that high didn't last. It didn't work out. I knew. Like, it's just one of those songs we're so proud of. And we've had in our pocket for a little bit. You were actually in a relationship, that relationship, when you wrote it. So
yeah,
basically, you manifested maybe your own breakup at that point.
Jury's out. I may have manifested this breakup song in my actual relationship, but it's all good though, because
I feel fine.
It's fine. I feel nothing. No. But I kind of had pictured what I would feel like if my ex and I were to split.
Never a good sign.
No.
Maybe it's my fault. When you start picturing that. That's the
looking back now in retrospect.
No.
But and then we did. So this song came to fruition in multiple ways for me later on. But
love just doesn't work though. You know?
No, and I like that this song, it doesn't really point out that there's a bad guy or a good guy. It's just, hey, sometimes people fall out of love.
It didn't work out. Why is this a song that you're proud of? Are you proud of the lyrics of it? Does it feel like a real country song? And it's like, God, like, we listen to songs that sound like this now. This song is out and it's ours. Like, what is it about it that you guys feel really proud about? I mean, it's a great song.
The storytelling, the melodies,
the concept of it,
the concept.
It just feels so like complete, or just so like
so
professional.
Yes.
Nashville country singer. Like,
yes,
this is a good song.
I wouldn't change anything about it. I feel like we really nailed it from top to bottom, just looking at it from a song perspective. Also, to me, the best compliment I can receive is someone coming up to me and saying, hey, I wish I would have written that song.
And have people said that with this song?
Yes, with Ring, they have. And I'm like, yes!
That's what you
best
want.
Thing that can
who
happen.
Who has said that to you? Like, who?
Other songwriters.
Other songwriters have come up to you guys.
I actually, Carly Pierce told me that.
No, she didn't.
Yeah.
Wow.
At Orange Theory.
And did you say, why don't we put out another version?
I said...
With you on
I
it.
I should have said, do you want a feature on this song? But I think I was too, like...
Did she come up to you out of the blue and she go, hey, are you Kendra? Or do you,
so,
or
no,
do you kind of know her?
We had kind of known each other.
Yeah.
And Pete Good, who produced this song, has also worked with Carly. He wrote We Don't Fight Anymore.
Yeah.
With Shane and her. And I think she had reposted a little demo that we posted of this song, like the first time we posted it, just how much she loved it. And the next day I saw her at a gym class and she came up to me. I mean, I was like sweaty. Gross, like, I was not cute in this moment.
How'd she look?
She looked great. She was glowing. I was like,
oh my God,
how do you look so good after working out? And she's just, I don't know, I think she's an athlete, but she, if she's not an athlete, the way she runs, and I'm like, I do not want to run next to you. Anyways, this is besides the point, because she's,
I think this is the point, this is
really
fascinating. But
she's really, really athletic, very athletic. But she comes up to me after this class and I'm like, you're an angel and I look disgusting. And she just said, that song that you posted, I love it so, so much. And she's like, I wish that was, you know, I wish I would have wrote that song. And I was like, is this happening right now? Like in this moment? I was really blown away because we're such fans of her and what she does. And I think she really writes a breakup song. She's one of the best at it in this town.
Yeah. So for her to look at the song.
Right.
Yeah. Does she? Was this before the song came out? Was this when you were just teasing it?
Yeah, this is just when we were teasing. This is right after we released like the first like little demo teaser basically of it. Yeah. The song wasn't even out yet. And yeah, that happened. And I had texted our producer, and I'm like, Pete, you'll never guess what happened. And so that was pretty cool.
Do you feel like you guys got so much of your start on social media? You guys started out on like posting stuff on YouTube and Facebook. Yeah. And then obviously with TikTok. And I feel like when you guys were starting out on TikTok, there was such a bad rap around artists in Nashville who were trying to make it on TikTok. And I feel like now all those artists are having the last laugh. It's like you guys, there's like a group of you. And I don't even know if it feels like it's all a group. But from the outside, there's like a class of artists that made it on social media, probably using TikTok during the pandemic. And you guys were like, everybody was giving you guys shit at the time. Mm-hmm. Probably behind your backs, maybe in front of your backs. Like nobody was taking these artists seriously. Mm-hmm. And now they are probably the artists you should be betting on to be the next wave of country superstars. Like it's crazy how that dynamic has flipped. Like have you guys sense that, and did you know when it was happening that like everyone was kind of like
Kendra and I always have kind of kept our heads down and got to work. Obviously social media has been a big thing for us during the pandemic. We did get on TikTok and started to grow our platform, mm-hmm. but we've always been, you know, songwriting a couple times a week. We played down on Broadway 3 times a week to pay our rent. So I think we've just tried to do it all,
try to overall. Be well-rounded.
But TikTok for us was always just a way, hey, this could be a cool way to get more people to hear our music. We're always in the spirit of song comes first, write a great song, and there's always a way to make cute videos to it on TikTok or try to promote the song. But I don't know, maybe there was a little bit of a stigma behind TikTok artists, but at the end of the day, it's just, hey, if people like the music, they like the music. So
because we did that 615 house with basically all those artists are flourishing right now. You talk about like
crazy?
Alexandra Kay, Cooper Allen, Priscilla, Ashley.
And who was judged more than the 615 house?
Right?
I feel like everybody, nobody got, I don't know. To me, it's weird. I thought I saw what everyone was doing.
Every one of these people, like, we are all go-getters. Mm-hmm. 100%. Like, it was the mentality behind every one of these artists is like, nothing's gonna stop us. Like, and that's why everyone is so incredibly successful right now. And like, we just did a show with Priscilla in Houston and she's killing it. And, you know, we went on tour with Cooper at one point. Alexander just got the Jelly Roll tour and Ashley has a top 20 at radio. Like, these people are absolutely killing it. It's because they're, well, talented, but they're also just go-getters. And, you know, we have the same mentality of like, even though we're signed to a record deal, we have every dream team we could have ever possibly imagined. We still have the mindset that we are independent artists and we have to do it ourselves if we want it to happen. And I think all those people still have that same mindset too. Like, we know at the end of the day, all this could go away and we could be left with just what we've grown and created. And we want to make sure if that ever does happen, that we still have
a career,
what we've grown and mm-hmm. built in a career. And our fans really are just number one. Always. Number one, because if you have fans, then you have a career. So that's our number one priority mm-hmm. And our number one focus.
It's funny, though. I don't think we ever, and just getting back to like the whole TikTok thing or even just mean comments on social media, Kendra and I are really good about ignoring everything.
we're doing our thing. Yeah.
And we are enjoying what we're doing. We're enjoying the music we're creating. We like connecting with people on social media. So we are all good with all of it.
But don't. But in the heat of it, whenever someone's phone is this my phone?
Zach,
that's ringing. What the
How rude!
Fuck is going on? Oh my god! Everyone has to silence their phones. Okay, but in the moment, in the heat of it, like when the whole town and now the whole town's changed the narrative because no one's that smart. Let's be honest. But in the moment when everyone's like kind of judging this, did you feel that, or did you not really feel it, or did you not really care?
I don't think I really cared. It was like everyone always gets a little worried or freaks out or disses something new. When something new comes around and people don't know what it is, I think it just everyone's a little scared of it right away. But for us, we were growing hundreds of thousands of new people finding our music on social media. How would we not be so happy about that? When we're, you know, we used to grind for 3 days a week, 4 hours, doing cover gigs down on Broadway, and we can sit in our kitchen and record covers and gain hundreds and thousands of followers. Like, how could we not be happy about that? That's incredible, just to have that sort of access to people across the world. I mean, the UK and Australia, and it's just, you wouldn't be able to do that without social media. So I think if it overtakes your life and it's all you think about, maybe it's, you know, not the best. And we don't,
or
it's not everything to us, but we love it for what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't say you can't bank your whole career off of TikTok, but if it's a tool that helps you get your music out, great.
Right, because TikTok could be gone in a year, 2 years. It could be gone tomorrow. And if it went away, fine. I mean, there's always going to be another app. There's always going to be another service to get your music out there. But at the end of the day, it's just honing in on what kind of music you love to make and being really proud of that and really loving what you do. And if we're really proud of it at the end of the day, then we love to hopefully, you know, share it with our fans, and hopefully they love it just as much too. And that's really all we care about. I mean, if someone is dissing TikTok or a TikTok artist, it's like, well, what are you doing, bro? Like, honestly.
Somebody was commenting on my thing, and they were talking so much shit. And then I was like, who is this person? And I clicked them. They had like 9 followers. And I was like, not that followers matter, but I was like, this is not even a real person. I was like, this isn't even a guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a lot of it. You just can't listen to the
haters,
the schmuffle ruffle of it all, you know?
I was listening to this interview that you guys did with Bobby Bones on the Bobbycast, and he asked you this question. He was like, who's famous from North Dakota? And you guys were talking, there were like a couple of athletes, and then I was like, there's no way that's it. And I looked it up, and it's like a really small list. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like an alarmingly long list.
There's just not a lot of people from
there's
there.
Just not that many people to teach from. But like where I grew up, there were Nobel Prize winners in my town. There were famous authors. Like, there were actors. Like, I didn't grow up in such a crazy place. But like, where I grew up, I was around all these people, and it was very inspiring. Like, when you guys coming out in North Dakota, I don't want to make it sound like it's some foreign crazy place. Just,
it is to a lot of people, though.
Okay.
We're proud to be from around there.
Like,
yeah.
Was there... Did you have to dig a little deeper to say, oh, we're going to move to Nashville, we're going to do this? Like, where did you find the, I don't know what the right word is.
Inspiration,
like, where did you find that to say, we could do this? Nobody from North Dakota has ever done this, but we're gonna do this. It probably seems like not even such a big thing to you guys.
Yeah.
But is that weird?
It was definitely crazy. I think we were a little naive enough going, people do it all the time. Why can't we do it?
But we have original songs. What do you do? Start a band. What do you do if you want to make it big time in country music? You got to move to Nashville, I guess.
So it was just always on our goal list. And like you said, there wasn't a ton of people before us who have, you know, left North Dakota to move to Nashville to chase a country music dream. Thankfully, we did know a few people here in Nashville
Do you know?
So Gwen Sebastian, she tours full time with Miranda Lambert. She's from North Dakota.
Oh, there
and
we go.
And so that was our really main connection.
Is she her backup singer? Or who's
yeah.
she? Oh, yeah,
so
she's
like,
great.
Yeah, she's amazing. She has her own solo career, too, and she's incredible. And her and her husband, Louie, really helped us kind of get our feet set here in Nashville. And so we did have a few people like that who really helped us, encouraged us to get down here if we wanted to really follow this dream. And I think just the people in North Dakota were so supportive because they were so proud of us and so happy for us for chasing a dream. Obviously, there was people who called us crazy and said we'd move back, you know, in a year.
Who says that?
You know, just the small town hubbub.
But who actually says that? Does somebody come up to you and say, oh, this isn't going to work?
Oh, no, it's like,
more like subtweets.
It's like, oh, I heard someone say, it's like no one says it to your face because they would never say it to your face because they're too scared. But he said, she said, you know, thing. So I don't really know ever what was actually said. But I do know that we had so much support and we felt that support from North Dakota, from our small town, from so many people. And that really gave us a lot of courage. And our parents. Mm-hmm. Our parents were so encouraging.
Yeah, they never told us we were crazy for wanting to move. Our parents are awesome. They got us in piano lessons early on. They encouraged music. They drove us to gigs. My dad, he's a respiratory therapist, but he learned how to run sound for acoustic gigs.
Did
our mom
really?
Yeah.
Our mom helped us.
We had
us
to fire him at one point.
why he wasn't doing a great job.
Yeah, he was pretty bad.
But
yeah.
Isn't that crazy, though?
We love him dearly.
If
but...
your parent, if your parents had said, look, like, this is cute, but you're not going to leave North. Like, you know, you, if you're going to leave North Dakota, right. It's going to be something. You guys. Would
That'd
you guys,
be so detrimental. Yeah,
would
honestly.
Would you guys be here? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
That would have been a lot harder, for sure, to not have supportive parents, a supportive family. We really, really are grateful for that. Man, because it would have been a lot harder, for sure, to not have that support. But they actually ended up moving down to Tennessee about a year later, too. So our whole family's
here.
Which is super nice, because now this feels like home. Yeah.
But honestly, growing up in North Dakota for country music was amazing, because there weren't that many people pursuing an original career in country music. So we got to play every county fair. They let us go play high schools while we were in high school. Mm-hmm. They let us open up for all the big acts that came into town. So we got so much experience up there, because North Dakota loves their country music. Yep. That's probably the main, I would say, market up there.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And let's not even talk about the sister here, who's the odd one out, who just, you know... Carly, Krista, and Kendra, and she doesn't even. Oh my God, I'd be so jealous if I was her. Oh my God.
So she does get jealous of the places we travel to. Like, we're heading to the UK next week, and
she's
gonna be in London for
Carly.
School.
You're doing great.
Yeah,
get
Carly's
out of here.
Doing
you're
great.
Doing fine.
Carly,
you're doing fine.
You don't need us. Yeah, no, we love her, but
here's. Yeah, no, what were you going to say?
Oh, I said Carly's a college-educated woman. She's going all the places. She's seeing the sights. Yeah, early on, she never wanted to be in the band, though.
No.
She didn't even like country
music.
It was her
loss. Yeah, she wanted to be in the band. This could be like
the
Castellos or something.
Yeah.
This could
be a trio.
We could
have been the next Chicks. Mm-hmm. Like, it could have been us.
Oh,
it would have
been
it
great.
It won't be now. So.
Sorry, Carly.
Thanks, Carly.
Thanks, no. Carly. What? No, but here's what I was like thinking about that I've always found fascinating about you guys. When you moved to Nashville... Krista's a little younger,
mm-hmm.
But Kendra went back to college. You went to college because you guys graduated at the same time.
So
why would you do this? This seems crazy to me.
Yeah. I asked him. No, I'm just kidding.
So I went to a semester of college, and then I did college throughout high school a little bit too. So I had enough credits to when I moved to Nashville, and Krista had enough credits that we both transferred into Belmont as sophomores. So when I was in North Dakota, I went for a semester to college up there, and then I dropped out so we could continue to pursue music, which a lot of people, I don't feel like, know that part of our story. But I
which
really...
part specifically, the part that you dropped out to pursue music?
Yes.
But and that meant just touring more around North Dakota.
Yes, mm-hmm. And waiting for her to graduate high school so we could move to Nashville,
knowing that that's what you had to do.
Yes.
And you didn't and you didn't think maybe it was worth staying in college while she finished high school.
Was honestly too far. We could never practice. It was just
her college is 4 hours away.
Oh yeah,
it was really difficult. And so I kind of was like, okay, what do I really want to do in life? Well, I want to move to Nashville. I want to pursue this career. So it's just a little bit of a waiting game at this point. And then we actually registered for both colleges, MTSU and Belmont, down here in Nashville, mm-hmm. and like registered for classes at both. And basically,
how do you do that? Don't you have to get like accepted into
well,
both, or like what do you mean?
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of a weird story too. Honestly, we knew we wanted to get down to Nashville. We didn't know how we were going to get down to Nashville. Mm-hmm. We had taken a year. I graduated high school in 2016. We moved in 2017, so we kind of had saved up money from doing shows up there to last mm-hmm. us a little while down
how
here.
How much money could you make doing a show out there? Like
North
out there,
Dakota?
Yeah, like what was the most you would make in a show?
I mean, we made really good. We made a really good living up there.
I can't
honestly
even remember.
Like
that was 11 years ago,
and we didn't. We
but
were still
when you're saving up money and you still have
like
shows,
thousands,
like
of dollars?
Like you play a show, you make like a corporate, like a private gig or a mm-hmm. fair or something, you make a couple $1,000s.
Yeah.
Like doing so. Okay, so you're up there, you're saving money.
Yep.
And we're waiting for you to graduate high school.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So we can move to Nashville.
And you drop out of college. So then,
yes.
No, but then you were talking about how you applied to both Belmont and MTSU.
You know, we had heard that Belmont University was a good music college, and mm-hmm. along with MTSU. And for us, it was like, hey, what can we afford? Because
what's
Belmont's
more affordable?
Belmont's a private school, yep. MTSU is a state school. So we applied to both, got accepted to both. Tour both, register for classes.
How did they
had
do
to make,
that?
I don't know how we were allowed to.
Because I'm assuming you didn't pay tuition to both schools.
No, I don't really know
how
that happened.
How do you end up doing that?
I literally don't know. Zach,
I have a student ID for MTSU.
Like,
what?
I have no idea how this actually happened. To the last wire, we were registered.
Probably
until
we actually physically had to pay the money.
Why did you feel that you even had to go to school, though? Especially... You, like, like, Kendra, why did you, what did you feel you had to gain going to Belmont?
I think it was like, okay, I can go to school and be pursuing music, writing while I'm not going to school, or I can, you know, get a job and pursue music. So it was kind of like, I either am going to school or I get a job and do music at the same time. And for me,
and
it was
going
like,
to school just sounded better.
Yeah. I mean, we got it to an affordable rate for the both of us to go. And then I was, you know, you hear so many things about Belmont and building your community. And so
and
I thought,
in Nashville.
And you're in Nashville. For our parents, you know, it's safer for us to be in a community of people. We're not just randomly moving to this new big city because we're from a town of 2,000 people. So it was just a really safe way for us to kind of get into a community, build friends, learn more about the industry, still get a degree. You know, not that I had plan B, but, you know, there's plan B in case this career never works out, which
but
I never thought.
But also, the degree we got, it's called the music business degree. It goes hand in hand. We had a bunch of law classes that we still use in our daily lives. And it didn't seem like a degree that we're going to, hey, let's go to, I don't know, something completely unrelated to music. Right. It did go hand in hand.
Did you guys have any great college memories, any great college parties or anything? Or were you out touring the whole time?
Man, we were too busy to party. So we were going to school
full
time. We
partied on Broadway.
We did party. There we go.
Yeah.
We went to school full time. We would stack all of our classes on 2 days a week. So we'd be going from 8 a.m. to like 6 at night, like Monday, Wednesday, Fridays. And then Tuesdays and Thursdays, we would write in town because we wanted to do that. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we would play Broadway.
I love the story, too, of you guys cutting class to go audition for Broadway.
Yes, that's probably our best story.
That
school.
Is our best story, yeah.
What class was it that you cut?
I don't even remember. It was definitely cut class, though, to go audition at Nudie's Honky Tonk. And then we got the gig, so it was worth
it. So
it
was worth it.
It was worth missing class for. But, you know, they at Belmont, they do really encourage you to step outside your comfort zone and do stuff in the industry. And, you know, as artists, we're pursuing this career. It's like we can't learn how to be performers going to school. You have to.
That's why I'm so confused. Why Kendra went to school. Chris, were you the oldest one in all your classes? You're not that old.
Everyone thought we were twins.
You were a couple years older.
I'm old, okay?
No. But you were not the right age. You were a couple years older than probably everyone else in college,
right? Yeah, I was
like,
these are just my sweet angel children in these classes. No, just kidding.
Did you make any lifelong friends?
We did. My best friend, Nicole, the first day, this is a great story, too. I sat down the front row of, I think it was a macroeconomics class, and she sat right next to me. I'm like, because I know, like, I am pretty smart, but I'm not
humble
the smartest.
Too.
Yes, very. Hey, listen, you don't have, not the rest of the story, but I'm not the smartest.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that's where I was going with this.
Okay, yeah.
Like, I don't think I'm dumb, but I'm not the smartest person in the class.
I always felt I was the smartest person in every class
in
school.
But people who sit in the front row generally are go-getters,
are smart.
Is that you?
I wanted to meet the smart people.
So you would sit in the front row?
Yes.
Oh, this is smart. You would sit in the front row to be next to the other smart people?
Yes, 100%.
That's a pro tip, actually,
from
Kendra.
So Nicole sits next to me, and then I look at her. I was like, hey, I'm Kendra. Is Belmont hard? Like, I haven't been to school for a while. I really am nervous about going back. She's like, are you on Adderall?
That's what she said?
Yeah.
That's what she said to me.
Like,
because
she thought you were, or she was saying, like, you should be?
No, like, I probably need to get on it. Maybe should get on Adderall.
To get through Belmont?
To get through Belmont.
No way. What?
I never did, but, yeah, so that was my first
interaction with her.
We're still best friends to this day.
And do you laugh about that moment, or was she dead serious?
Oh, no, we laugh about it, but she was dead serious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, so she's one of my best friends. We have another friend, Emily, who we met at Belmont, one of our best friends. So, yeah. And then, honestly, so many people in this industry that we work with or we cross paths with
came from Belmont.
Yes.
And it's great because now they can, like, call you back for alumni stuff. They can claim you as an alumni. And
did the showcase at the country showcase.
Oh,
at Belmont.
Yeah.
Our whole band is from Belmont.
Yeah, our band's from Belmont. So
I want to talk about this, too, because I'm ready to join the band. I'm ready to audition.
Come on,
Zach. Whenever you need, what do we need? A utility player?
We need like a keys
player.
Player. Yeah.
I pitch this to every artist. Oh, keys and aux. I can't do keys. I can do Pell Steel.
Okay.
I can do acoustic guitar. I can do mandolin.
Mando is
banjo.
Much needed.
I can do harmonies. Like, I'm ready to harmonize with the Tiger Lily Gold Sisters.
Yeah, you can take that low
interval. Can we do it? Can we do a harmony? Can we try something? What can we,
like, a song or just a note?
No, like a note. Who cares about a note? Like, can we do a song? Like, can we
right
wrap
now?
This up with a harmony? Is this crazy?
Sure.
Am I asking too much of the Tiger Lily Gold?
Well, it depends on how it sounds.
Well, I feel like I can join it. Can we do a song? What song?
What song?
Do you know any of our music?
Can we do the chorus of, like, Shoot Tequila or something? Is it? I feel like I'm asking a lot here, but I think we could get it.
Yeah, just ignore my voice because I'm a little.
I did this with the Restless Road guys, and it came out pretty good. Here's really quickly, because we're running out of time, but here's my thing about Shoot Tequila. This song, I feel like, has two choruses, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Is that because you just want double the hooks in it? Why do you put two choruses? This song, to me, is an interesting song.
Hook after hook after hook,
there's
baby.
There's a form here that's, like, interesting, right? Like, was this, like, a real thing? Or am I overthinking it?
We,
like,
wrote
it
as
know.
A post-chorus, and then it was so hooky, honestly, we just added it to every single chorus. And
that's
so,
like,
that's really what happened. It was like, okay, this one, the one tequila part. That's the part that goes viral every time. It's the everyone knows that part of the song. So we were like, wow, that is the hookiest part.
Yeah.
Let's add it on to the end of every single chorus and just make it part of
you
it.
You know what's funny is when I first heard the song, I heard it on TikTok, and I would always hear that, like, one tequila, two tequila. And I was like, oh. And then when I heard the song, I was like, no, that can't be the same song. It sounds totally different.
Yeah. If
there's a lot of different
song.
Parts to the song.
This is a complicated song. Nobody's playing this downtown because they can't even learn it.
Hey,
nobody...
there's been a couple bands that have played it downtown because I've gotten Snapchat.
Really?
It's actually a lot harder to sing than you, because it's like a fun honky-tonk
song. I'm worried
about
it,
because
I feel like I'm about to try to do it with you guys, and I'm worried it's deceivingly hard.
The breath
it is
support
kind
in
of
it
hard.
Is it, really it, hard.
When you hit that second one tequila, two tequila, you start running out of breath,
it's,
right?
Yeah, it's like, it's actually a really hard song to sing, which it doesn't seem like it would be, but it's one of our hardest songs.
I
want to
give this a try. Can we give this a try?
Just like the one tequila part?
No, the shoot tequila. I want to start from there. Where are we starting? I don't know what part I'm going to take. I'm just going to, but I think I can do this. What?
Okay.
I'm worried I'm going to sing unison with you guys.
Three.
Shoot tequila, didn't want to see you, but I love the taste of you on my lips. Because after one or two tequila, get me in the mood to move my shakira hips. I knew I shouldn't do it, but I don't remember why. Such a bad influence, but you're looking good tonight. Shoot tequila, you're good at what you do, tequila. And it goes like one tequila, two tequila, three tequila more. If I had a little sense, I would have stopped at four. Instead of cursing your name on the bathroom floor, swear to God I won't drink tequila no more.
There we go.
Yeah, low octave. That's what
low
you're doing, buddy.
Low octave.
Nailed.
Am I in the band? Am I in the band?
You're
in
the band,
I'm
Zach.
In the band.
You made it.
Okay, Tiger Lily Gold. Here's the point. We're about to hop on Instagram Live. We're going to reveal to the world the cover of our National Briefing debut album. These girls are on it. This episode's going to drop later this afternoon, so you're going to be listening to it. Find this issue at CRS. Stream their new song. It's not that new anymore, but it's out, and it's killing country radio. I Put a Ring on It. This is out. All right, no, I should have put a ring on it.
What's the song called? Country radio.
I should have put a ring on it.
I try to ring on.
But I try to ring on.
It's
such
okay.
a good
Beyonce,
song.
I try to ring on.
Beyonce is, if you like it, then you should have put a ring on.
Oh, that was good
I try
too.
To ring on.
But this is I Try to Ring on.
I Try to Ring on. It's out now. Shoot Tequila's out now, and you can watch us. You if you want, you can rewind and listen to us harmonize Shoot Tequila. It's there. Guys, thanks for coming on the podcast. I'm so pumped you guys were on this cover shoot. First debut issue. John Lennon was on the first cover, Rolling Stone.
Woo!
We got Tiger Lily Gold on the first cover in National Briefing.
Making
this
history,
baby! This is fucking
baby.
Huge. All right, we're out. Thanks for coming on. We're going to hop on Instagram Live.
Woo!
We did it. Oh, we're late for the live.